You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for coming out and listening to The Real Short Box. My name is Donald.
And my name is Dr. Kevin.
And we are here today to talk about Final Girls. You know what I'm talking about, Kevin, right?
Sounds like the final girl in a horror movie?
Yes, exactly. The girl in a horror movie that makes it to the end. So guys, anybody that hasn't seen some of these, there's going to be some spoilers with these movies. Now, we're not obviously going to talk about one that just came out like last month or whatever like that, particularly because there probably hasn't really been much to come out, especially in the movie theaters. But we were talking about, essentially, I guess you could say even to a point, Scream Queens. There's a lot of Scream Queens that would be represented within this Final Girl movement here that we'll be discussing.
There's a lot of screaming.
Yeah, and it's actually interesting. Before the movie, The Final Girl, do you remember that one that came out a few years back?
Yeah, I remember that one.
Before that movie, I didn't really know what a Final Girl was, to be honest. I didn't know that they called them that. Just women that last strong. Female characters that last through till the end of a horror film. And they're like the main...
survivor.
Protagonist of the film. Yeah, the main survivor.
And they tend to dispatch the killer, or at least temporarily.
Right. Like when, for example, when we were watching in the theater, it wasn't necessarily you and I, but me and somebody else. I can't even remember who, to be honest. But when we were watching the remake of The Evil Dead... The girl that was basically playing Ash Williams' character, Bruce Campbell's character, in that film, she was essentially a final girl because she made it until the end of the film.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of an example of what we're discussing here. So let's go ahead and get started. Do you have any recommendations?
Well, this is a classic movie, Texas Chainsaw Massacre from 1974, and the final girl was Sally Hardesty. Have you seen it before? It's been a long time since you watched it.
Are we talking the original?
Yeah, the original.
My God. I think I saw it a long time ago, and probably with my eyes pretty much closed.
Well, if you look at that picture there, that probably tells you all you need to know.
Good Lord.
Yep.
Okay. So is that the character she played, or is that her real name?
Oh, no, it's the character she played.
Okay, so Sally was the character in the film.
Yep.
Okay.
And what's sad is, you know, she's basically the last survivor out of, you know, five people. You know, her brother was in the group too, and like, you know, got taken out. So she went through a lot of psychological hell. If anything, that's what the movie I think is most famous for. It's not really a gory movie. It's more about psychological terror.
No, if I recall, nobody was technically killed with a chainsaw, right?
Oh no, there were.
There were.
Oh. It just, you know, it wasn't as, you know, pronounced. You didn't see guts flying everywhere.
Oh, okay. It's more for like, some reason, I thought he didn't really use a chainsaw that, but
he did.
It's been a long time, Kevin.
You know, some one guy got hung on a hook, so it's pretty bad. but at least, again, the way it's done, it's kind of done more with the camera angles and the facial expressions.
Uh-huh.
This is what she's really good at. You see her facial expressions, even there in that picture, you can kind of see what I'm talking about. You see a face.
She's in the back of a truck.
Yeah.
And she's got her mouth open. You can see her big, bright, she's pearly whites.
Yep.
And she is it's just a look of anguish.
Yeah, and hysteria. She's hysterical. Yeah.
It's almost like she's happy.
Yes.
Yet. Crazy.
Yes. And like, I'm glad you said that.
You see that on the street.
I'm glad you said
LA.
That. I'm glad you said that, because that's exactly what happened. She finally was able to escape the, you know, the killer family that Leatherface and company are a part of. And she was able to escape, and she was able to jump on a guy's truck to, you know, for safety. And of course, you know, Leatherface is chasing after her with the chainsaw, but of course, you know, the truck's moving at a faster pace where he can't catch her. And so, yeah, this final scene, you see her just, you know, hysterically
So he's still alive and chasing after at the end?
Yeah.
And she just gets away?
She just gets away.
Holy crap.
She just gets away.
Man, it has been a long time since I've seen this movie.
And matter of fact, the very final shot you see after this is you kind of see him kind of doing like a dance, you know, just with the chainsaw, and you know,
yeah.
Then the screen goes to black. But she, you can tell she's mentally messed up. Like, you can tell she's probably, if you were to continue the story with this character.
They never did?
Nope.
Oh my God, that's wasted potential.
I know.
They actually could do that now.
They could.
Right?
I mean, it's funny you mention it. If you did it now, let's see, this is 46 years. Let's just play the game here. Add a few more years once COVID's over. And you have 50th anniversary of this movie, which would be 2024. You can have, if she's still alive, the lady who plays...
right, because we haven't looked.
She, almost like with that Halloween reboot.
Yeah.
You know, you have an older Michael Myers and an older Laurie Strode. You could have her...
played by Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah. You can have her 50 years later still in a mental asylum or something. You never know. You could do all kinds of things you could do. Or maybe she was in a mental asylum for so many years and got released.
Yeah, that makes sense.
There's all kinds of things you can do.
Absolutely.
But when they did part two, it had your guy Dennis Hopper in it. It was just a totally different story.
Oh, I heard that was a wild one.
Yeah, it was. But you would like it because you like Dennis Hopper.
He's fun.
He is fun in part two, but it's goofy.
So since we're on that subject... Do you think that there is a more famous final girl than Jamie Lee Curtis from Halloween?
You know, it's a good question.
I don't think that there's one that's made it into so many.
Actually, there kind of is one. For recent times, I would say Sidney Prescott from Scream.
And that's played by Neve Campbell, right?
Yeah.
The character?
Yeah.
Well, you could also talk Courtney Cox, too, for that film.
She would be like a secondary one. But the thing is, with Courtney Cox's Gale Weathers character, she was never like the primary person, the primary target. It was always Sidney
as
the primary target. She would be like a secondary target every time she stuck her nose in the killer's business, if you think about it.
Which is odd. You don't have too many horror films when that many characters make it out alive.
Yeah, in this case, for all four movies, three people, even Dewey.
Yeah.
It was just even more interesting.
Dumbass Dewey played by David Arquette.
Yeah, all three of them. And even Cotton Weary to a point was kind of hanging in there.
Up until the third.
Yep.
And then right at the third at the beginning, I think it was, boom, he was gone.
He was gone. Which was good. You had to start dispatching other people within that group, you know?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And now I heard they're making another Scream
fifth
movie.
One.
Yeah.
And if they do, I think I talked to you about this. The time has come, you know? To finally do away with Sidney, as much as
bring in a new cast, in other words.
Because you want to pass on, you know, if you want to continue this franchise, it's time to move on, you know. Mm-hmm. As much as I like Neve Campbell and the Sidney Prescott character, realistically speaking, it's getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, it's time that someone actually... I think they know that, too. And I think even the Neve Campbell herself probably feels, okay, if I'm going to do this, kill me off. Let's just finally end this.
Mm-hmm.
Because at this point, she's probably like 50 years old, the character itself, you know, around that age. And it's just like, if you're going to go about this era, you know, it'd be ridiculous to live your entire life. All of a sudden, she's in a nursing home and still being pursued, you know, by some...
That actually would be kind of funny.
By some killer, you know.
They could make a Bubba Hotep sequel where it's her in the bed next to Elvis.
That's funny.
And they're both being pursued by the soul-sucking mummy that will eat your soul through your asshole.
That's funny.
Those that have not seen Bubba Hotep, I'm not joking. That's exactly what happens in a way, and you definitely should check it out.
That's pretty funny.
But yeah, let's move on. Let's backtrack again back to Halloween.
Sure.
So she played Laurie Strode.
Laurie Strode.
And that was played by Jamie Lee Curtis.
Mm-hmm.
And Jamie Lee Curtis is very famous for this movie.
Yep, it put her on the map.
Yeah, it really did. She's a screamer, I will say.
Yep.
And she's a very strong woman in this, and she only becomes stronger as the series progresses.
Yeah, I mean, she's real well, until recent times, she was only in the first two movies. And if you think about it, or actually maybe you don't know this, the second Halloween movie, if you remember it, the ending... If you think logically, that was it. Michael Myers died. Dr. Loomis died. There's no way on earth that you can... even if he's like a demon or something like that.
For the viewers, what exactly happened?
Okay, second movie takes place mostly in the hospital. So, you know, the events after the first movie, obviously her character's injured. They take her to the hospital. And, of course, Michael Myers finds out she's there through a radio transmission, like through a police, you know, radio transmission. Something like that. And, you know, he goes there, kills a bunch of the staff... Until, you know, of course, it comes down to her and Dr. Loomis. They're in a, how can I say this, like an oxygen room or something like that. And Dr. Loomis sets the, not the timer, but he's kind of like doing things to make sure that once he lights his lighter, that's it.
The gas.
Okay. It's going to blow up.
Got it.
So, of course, you know, he told Laurie to get out of there. And then, you know, it's just him and Michael. Of course, before that, Michael got shot in his eyes, so he couldn't see. And then he says, Michael, it's time. And then, you know, he blows himself and Michael up. And then, you know, to add a little scary part is you see Michael come out of the room on fire. And, you know, Laurie Strode's freaking out like, oh, my God, this guy's still alive. And then you just see him finally drop dead. And he's just burning to a crisp.
Right. And that makes sense. He should have been gone because in the third one.
It was a different story. And the whole idea from John Carpenter was to make it an anthology after that.
Right.
It wasn't meant to. Like, he was pissed off writing the second movie. His intention was the first movie, that was it. It was just supposed to end on the way it ended.
Right.
Just evil is still out there
That's the end of Michael Myers.
That's the end of Michael Myers. So, yeah, he's still out there, but, you know, he would have just moved on to another story. But they insisted, hey, this made all this money, of course. Please make another movie.
Yeah, so he directed the second one?
No. He wrote it, and then someone else directed it, and, you know, he just wasn't happy with it. And then when he did the third one, right. It was like, okay, this is what I wanted to do.
That makes sense, because that film is not in our podcast we did, the live one about the top 10.
No.
That we did on a Monday on YouTube. If you guys want to interested in checking that out, we did a top 10 ranking of John Carpenter films, and Halloween is in there. And it is actually surprising where it is on the list. I'm not going to tell you. You have to check it out for yourself, but it is on YouTube under Rumblespoon Productions on our Real Short Box page.
And it was a fun live stream, I must say.
Yeah, a lot of fun. A lot of fun. We had a good time with that. So I hope you guys watch it, and I hope you have fun too. Moving on then, Halloween, what's the next one that we can think of? We did Scream, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Halloween.
What about the first Alien? You know, sci-fi horror.
Okay, I guess we can go that. You know, I was thinking about that myself, and I didn't go there because, to me, Alien and Aliens is more science fiction than it is.
Well, I agree, but here's the thing. I know a lot of people say this too, and I agree on this. They're two different movies in a sense that Alien is really about the psychological horror as well as being pursued by this, you know, nearly unstoppable creature.
Mm-hmm.
And you're on a spaceship. There's really nowhere to go. You can go to all your hiding places, but eventually it's going to find you. And so you have to figure out, how in the world am I going to stop this monster from killing me?
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, I think it does count as a horror film, you know, hybrid sci-fi horror, where Aliens, I would say, is more of a sci-fi action, war movie.
Kind of like you could classify Silence of the Lambs as a horror film in a way. It
yes.
psychologically breaks the character.
Thriller,
down.
Horror, thriller, you know.
All right. So Ellen Ripley, she's still alive in as far as, like, last time we saw her was Aliens Resurrection, Alien 4?
Well, she's both dead and alive. In Alien 3, you remember she died. Remember she was infected. She had
that's
a
true. And
a
then
queen,
brought her back. And brought her, was a clone.
Yeah, they cloned her. They cloned her because they cloned her somehow. I don't know how the hell they did this, because it was the whole purpose of Part 3 is that you couldn't get any of her DNA, but somehow they had some of her DNA from somewhere, and that's how they were able to clone
her.
Well,
the mining community, you know, they were pretty shady, so they probably had her blood anyway.
And she probably didn't realize it. Yeah,
right.
But yeah, they used that. Although I think the theory is what the Alien Resurrection, Alien 4 was, it took more time, like another, whatever, 75 years to finally clone her properly.
I'm tired of going back in time on these Alien films. I don't find them interesting.
The first one kind of was, it just wasn't perfectly executed. Like, it had a good idea, it just wasn't perfectly executed. Like for one thing that bothered me about Prometheus, I wish we would have seen, like, already, instead of teasing it for the next movie, I would like to have seen the actual world of the engineers and actually seen them, you know, do their thing, you know, and then later on, you know, you move on to the other stuff, but it would have been cool to see their world, how they operate, how their culture operated, if they were, like, the true engineers of human beings, like, how did they come up to, you know.
I think it would have fleshed it out more and made the story more interesting. I don't know why
they
felt the need to not do that.
It's not like you didn't have the budget or the money to do so, and having the credibility of a Ridley Scott to say, hey, I want to do this. Oh, yeah, sure, Ridley. You know, it's not like
whatever you want, Ridley.
Yeah, it's not
Ridley,
like
you're the man.
Yeah, it's not like he's some first-timer.
We love you, Ridley.
Yeah, it's not like he's some first-timer, you know, trying to execute a film like this.
So she was in four films.
Yep. And she was supposed to come back for Alien 5, but for so many years they couldn't come up with a good idea. Although
four was so bad.
Although, interestingly enough, Neil Blomkamp did have an Alien 5 that was very close to being
Neil Blomkamp?
Yeah, to being very, very close to being greenlit. And actually, I think Sigourney Weaver did like his script. The problem was kind of in a weird way, Ridley Scott liked it too, but it's like, I want to do my thing first, and then we'll get there later. And then, of course, everything went off track with Prometheus and then Covenant. So then Blomkamp kind of got pushed to the side with his Alien 5 idea.
Yeah, that's kind of a shame.
It is a kind of a shame. It is a shame.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, what do we get next?
One of my personal top three movies of all time.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Nancy Thompson from A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yep, Freddy's gonna get ya.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, what's cool about this movie is, you know, two people carried this movie for the most part. And that was, of course, Robert Englund's Freddy Krueger, but also Heather Langenkamp as Nancy Thompson. Because the plot is going through her, you know, her friends and her parents were well connected to how Freddy became the Freddy as we know.
Yeah, her mom
explained the story.
Was one of the people that put him, like, burnt down the area that he was in.
Yep, that killed him. Yeah,
the school, right? No,
not the school. It was at a good lord, not really a power plant, but kind of like a power plant where he worked.
Yeah. That's it.
Like, there's like a boiler room and a power plant like that where he worked.
Boiler room, yeah.
And then,
and I've just seen this not long ago, like back in August, I watched this film. Oh, good. It's pretty fresh in my mind.
And it still holds up.
Yes, it does, actually. It does hold up. Her acting, however, never held up. It didn't hold up from day one, unfortunately, for me anyway.
Really?
I don't think she's good at what she's trying. I don't think she's a good actor. I don't. And look, she was fine for this one, but I feel like once they got money, they should have been like, man, we need to get somebody that can really pull us along.
I don't know, man. I kind of disagree with you a little bit. I mean, when she came back for part three, I thought she did an even better job in Dream Warriors, in my opinion. And then, of course, they brought her back again with Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Right. She was in three films?
Yeah.
And the New Nightmare was the one where
it was a meta film.
They were actually making the movie because Freddy wasn't a character that existed. And by making the film, they brought him to life.
Yeah, Demon was using it as a kind of like a template, you know.
Right. So that one actually was pretty good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that one. My buddy, Matt, and Matt, if you're listening, thank you for this, but he was like, you don't need to see them all.
No, you don't.
He was like, here's the ones that are probably the most important. Obviously, the first.
The third.
And then he said, we might as well jump to the third and then go to the New Nightmare, I think is what it was, right? New Nightmare.
You know what? For the most part, I agree with him.
Yeah.
I agree with him for the most part.
That tells a whole complete story.
Oh, and then after that, I would throw in just for fun, Freddy versus Jason. Yes. Just for fun. I mean, it's not a good movie, but it's a fun,
absolutely,
it's a fun, goofy, cheesy movie.
Yeah. And even just for the little aside, the little nod that they give to Army of Darkness / Evil Dead as well.
Yep. And by the way, this will be a story for another pod, but I really wanted to have seen the sequel to that, which would have been, as you know, Freddy versus Jason versus Ash.
Yeah, they did it in comic book form.
They did it in comic book form, but it would have been so much fun to have Bruce Campbell, Robert Englund, and hopefully like a Kane Hodder as Jason to be put together. That would have been so much fun.
That would have been amazing.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, Ash being Ash, he would have just shit his pants so many times.
And here's the thing that I would have enjoyed, and you even more so, you being a fan of Ash, me being a fan of the Freddy character, they would one up each other with one-liners. It would have been so much fun to have seen that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah.
Would have been such a treat.
I think Freddy and Ash probably would have at some point teamed up on Jason,
especially with the chainsaw. It's like, hey, why don't you drop? Let's just team up, protect this. You know, it would have been fun. You know.
Yeah, and to see like the sparks fly from the chainsaw onto the gloves, onto the sharp, you know, metal piercing gloves.
Or all like Jason's, you know, machete, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, yeah. Oh, man. You know what? It's never too late, but good Lord.
It's getting late.
It's getting late because
Bruce isn't getting any younger.
Nope. He's in his 60s now, right? He has to be. Yeah, he's in his 60s for sure.
Late 50s or early 60s, yeah.
Yeah, Bruce is like his early 60s now. And then, of course, Robert Englund is in his early 70s. So, you know, that's a problem.
Robert's no spring chicken.
Nope.
No. Okay, so what do you think would be another good one to throw out there? Any ideas?
Well, you know what?
Since we're still in the Friday the 13th realm, why don't we mention, was there another one, perhaps?
Well, we can go to the very first one, Alice Hardy, in the first Friday the 13th movie. Now, what's interesting about that first movie, for those who don't know, Jason really isn't in the movie. I mean, he's mentioned.
The real villain
is the mom. You know, he's
spoilers.
He's the pretense for her going crazy and killing the counselors, but you know, he's not there yet. But instead, it's Mrs. Voorhees.
Right. That was one that they did. Didn't they do that in Scream? That was one of the tests.
Yeah, Scream 2 was kind of like a little twist there.
Yeah, he.
You know, like, Billy's mom was one of the killers at the end.
Right,
of...
but no, even like I think it was in the first one when they.
Oh yeah. When the test questions, yes.
And he was like, "Who was I?"
And she got it wrong, and then it's like wrong, you know.
You're fucking wrong.
And then she was screwed because, yeah, it was a great question because most people would have gotten that wrong. Yeah. And especially she was under such stress and duress, she just said that,
yep.
And he knew He was smart. He knew that he had used that question first. Maybe she would have kind of remembered, but
right.
She used that question when she was already under arrest.
Yep.
You know, it was great.
Frustrated,
she was frustrated. She was scared. And, yeah. It was beautiful.
And I think after that movie came out, everybody knew the answer to that question. Like anybody you crossed on the street, if you asked them, they knew it was Jason's mom in the first movie.
Yep.
Because of that movie, because of Scream.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
But so Alice Hardy from Friday the 13th, from the first one.
Yes, the very first one.
The final
from 40 years ago now. Hard to believe. 1980 when it came out.
Wow.
And, you know, it's a very interesting twist because as far as I know, I don't think there ever was like a female serial killer like that in a horror movie. As far as I know, maybe some of the Italian movies maybe had something like that. Probably
well,
had some
if
of that.
You count
but American
Psycho,
horror films. But we know.
Right.
You know.
Right. It really. It was him dressed as his mother. Spoilers again.
Right.
But, you know.
But actually, you know, a real woman who's actually
dispatching
people. And especially when you see her at first, you're still not sure. Because, oh, you know, little old lady, whatever, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then when she starts, like, talking in a different way, like, you know, and you should have been there, you know, it's just flipping out.
It's actually a really cool story.
Yes.
Think about it. They bullied her son and essentially drowned him.
Mm-hmm.
And so then she sought revenge on them and then everybody from further on ever since.
And the funny thing about the whole series, which is kind of stupid, and this wouldn't make sense, if you just don't go to Crystal Lake, you're not going to have any problems. But they reopened the camp and that pissed her off. It's like, okay, all right, this is what's going to go down now.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, when Jason comes back, it's like simply people, they keep, that's what's kind of comical to me. You keep reopening this camp every other year. And people keep dying every year over it. It's like, how many people have to die before you realize...
Maybe we shouldn't be here.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't be here. Or if anything, nuke the place. I don't know. I mean, now, it's just ridiculous.
Does Jason come back at the end of the first one? Does his, like, his hand come out of the water?
Yes, but I think that was a dream sequence, though. Yeah, that very famous scene where she's, like, in on a canoe and just you hear that nice soft music. And all of a sudden, you see this little boy come out. You hear the powerful music and she's being pulled into the lake.
It's very clever foreshadowing in a way.
Yep.
Yeah, because I'm sure that at this point they probably knew that they were going to make a second one or that they
could. Well, after the first couple weeks or so, because, you know, the movie was made very cheap. By the way, Kevin Bacon's in that movie. It's one of his early films.
Oh, nice. And Johnny Depp was in Friday the 13th.
No, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yep. And when the movie did very well, they immediately asked for a sequel. Like, okay, you guys make a part two. Which, interestingly enough, Alice Hardy comes back. And unfortunately for her, she's taken out at the very beginning of part two by Jason for revenge of killing his mother. But what cracks me up about that beginning of that movie, I'm trying to figure out how in the world did he find transportation to find her? Like she lived like, I don't know, 1,000 miles away from Crystal Lake. But somehow, I don't know if he found
it. He walked that whole time.
Yeah. And I how did he find her address? Did he go into a phone book? You know, back then, phone books were the thing and you can find people's address. So I'm sure, I guess he somehow did some kind of detective work. And like, he killed mother.
Maybe
I find him.
Maybe,
I find her.
She still had life in her. And, you know.
Her head got cut off. How could she actually have life in her?
I don't know. Like, maybe voodoo life. I don't know. Maybe he did, like, some type of... He obviously, how the hell did he come back? He drowned,
Exactly.
So, there's always... And, in fact, I think it'd be kind of cool if she did come back for a sequel, for another story. Like, now.
Well, in Freddy vs. Jason... Oh, no, never mind. That was more of an illusion. That wasn't really her. Never mind. I was about to say.
I see what you're saying. Freddy did something.
Yeah, Freddy did something. You know, he did tricks.
Right. Which is effed up. Let's go to another one. Another one is kind of more recent, I guess, from the 90s.
Last 20 years. Yeah, last 20-something years.
Yeah. From the 90s. We saw it in theaters. Come on. Mm-hmm. We're not that old, damn it. Are we? We're old.
Yeah, we're old.
Kevin, we're old.
We're old.
Okay, so let's go with one Jennifer Love Hewitt. And who did she play?
Julie James and I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah. I actually saw a meme on this recently, and it said, I know what you did last summer. You texted about it on social media over and over and over again, and the poster had them all with cell phones in their hands. So I thought that was funny.
That's pretty funny.
But, I mean, a lot of these movies could have been easily solved with cell phones.
See, this movie, in a way, I can't really feel sorry for her or her friends. I mean, as you know, they kind of hurt somebody and try to cover up the evidence.
Yep.
leaving man for dead. Yeah, left the man for dead or whatever. And like, oh, we can't talk about this, you know. And of course, the hints of the title, what happened last summer. Well, you know what? If I'm that dude, I'd be pretty pissed too.
Yep, me too. Royally pissed.
I'm like, okay, you know, all right, get my hook and I'm going to start slashing all you fools.
So, Julie James, a.k.a. Jennifer Love Hewitt, she makes it through this.
She does. She makes it through both movies and the sequel.
Yeah, and most of her friends did not.
And unfortunately, they did not.
No, they died in very evil ways, let's just say. There were some hooks involved.
Yes, unfortunate ways to go. Yeah.
They got the hook? Is that what you say? Is that
they got the hook.
Yeah, yeah, there we go.
Well, it's kind of, I mean, there were jokes about, what's that commercial back in the day, the fisherman, the fisherman.
Gordon's fisherman.
Yeah, Gordon's fisherman. Like there were jokes about that. Gordon's fisherman's pissed and he's just killing people, killing teenagers. He's
wearing his yellow
slick
thing. He has rain outfit. Yeah, it's raining out. I'm going to go kill some kids.
Yep.
How do you like some fish sticks, kids?
All right. But honestly, I can't be upset at the guy. I mean, like I said, you know.
Well, you know, like, they did go against her wishes. Right. She didn't want to do this.
Right. But unfortunately, you're guilty because, you know, had you gone to the police and said, look, you know what? My friends really messed up.
But Kevin, if I pulled you over and you and Darren and Jarrett and I said, guys, I really messed up. I killed a kid. Would you guys be like, I'm going to turn you in? Or would you be like, oh, man, we just won't say anything?
There'd be a middle path. I'm like, brother, you got to come clean. You got to do something about this.
Really?
Because a family member...
If you told me you killed a kid, I'd be like, it's okay.
What, you'd help me cover up the evidence?
Probably.
Wow.
I'm not saying that we did this, by the way, anybody listening. Wow. This did not happen 100%. I want to make that very clear. But I'm saying, Kevin doesn't kill children normally. I mean, at all.
What are you trying to say?
So Kevin killed nobody. Nobody died by Kevin's hands. And I am definitely not covering up any evidence at all for anything
I see
that Kevin did. I'm just throwing that out there.
Right.
Nothing happened at all.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. Anything else?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a few more. Can we throw out like a couple more names real quick? We got like a minute or two.
You said something earlier today before we did this. I can't remember. There's some other movie. I couldn't think of what it is off the top of my head. With the final girl. I don't think I've seen the movie before. Whatever it was.
Huh. I see a lot of things.
Was it your... I don't know if it was your next or...
Ooh, your next? Wait, no. No, I don't think I chose your next. Who was I talking about?
There's something you said to me earlier.
Yeah.
There was another movie, and I can't think what it is off the top of my head.
Huh.
But.
Well, there was, I think, the character in Your Next was Erin...
Harsin,
that's right. And who played her again? Oh, jeez. I can't remember. But anyway, it was a fun film. I think it might be on Netflix right now.
Yeah, probably is, especially with, you know, Halloween and whatnot.
She was one of these final girls, though, that was very violent as a final girl.
Is that where she took pleasure in what
she
did?
Oh, I think so. Really? Yeah, she took action in being a final girl. Have you seen this?
No, I haven't seen that
movie.
You
haven't seen it? Kevin, I think you should watch it. Okay. 100%. I think you'd very much enjoy it. In fact, let's put it on, let's promise right now to put it on our Halloween viewing list. I'll watch Candyman for the first time.
Okay.
And you can watch Your Next for the first time. I think we'll both enjoy what we have to see there. Enjoy it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
The only other movies I could think of would be maybe a Final Girl in those Romero movies. I mean, like Dawn of the Dead. Wasn't there like a female survivor in Dawn of the Dead?
Oh, man. The original?
Yeah, like the original. I could have sworn that. Like,
I don't know. In the remake, there was.
Yeah, remake, there definitely was.
But in the original, I can't remember. It's been too long since I've seen that one. I know Elvira has always been a final girl.
Of course.
In my heart.
Of course. As she should.
Yes, wonderful. So, guys, anybody that has any... Adrienne Barbeau?
Okay.
Adrienne Barbeau, right?
No, yeah.
She's been a final girl in a few things. Heather Locklear, actually, in Swamp Thing.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah, Heather Locklear was a final girl in Swamp Thing, technically. So that's a good one. But there's all kinds. And honestly, guys, if you think of any and you want to give us a shout out about it, please feel free to. I would love to hear from you. And we would love to know what you think about this podcast. If you have any more recommendations on what we should do, we're happy to do some more podcasts like this. We always have fun with these, Kevin and myself. And the gang when they're available. And when they're not, Kevin and I just like going through these and having a good time. So,
or just by yourself.
Yeah. Sometimes I just ramble in the corner. It's fine. My roommate will find me and I'm just talking to myself. But yeah, if you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, we're all on those social media platforms. We are on YouTube, obviously. Check out our podcast on there, our video live podcast as well. What other platforms are we on podcast-wise, Kevin?
That's a Spreaker, Spotify.
Yeah, iHeartRadio.
iHeartRadio.
We are also on SoundCloud, and we are on
Blueberry.
Apple Podcasts, Blueberry. We're on that. Or is it Blueberry? It's Blueberry. Blueberry and Stitcher, and actually a multitude of others. I mean a multitude, guys. We are on a ton. I know we were on Google. We'll probably be back on there in a moment, so by the time you hear this, we'll probably already be back on there. And I believe we're getting on Amazon Podcasts as well when that's up and running, when that goes. So please tune in. If you can, give us a follow on YouTube. Subscribe to us on YouTube, please. Give us a follow on the podcast. Subscribe to us on those, on any platform that you wish. And give us a shout-out if you have any questions or comments or anything. We always enjoy hearing from people. So thank you for tuning in. And if we see you out and about, and if we're not murdered, maybe we'll see you
at the safe, sweet, homely, precious comic book shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.